Check out We Are Cavan Football Podcast in association with McAvoy's Super Value, Virginia. Real food, real people. Try Super Value's own range in store today. Quality products at one third the price of branded labels. McAvoy Super Value, Virginia. Supporting local. We Are Cavan Podcast. Because Cavan's not just a place, it's a people. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the McAvoy Super Value GAA podcast brought to you by We Are Cavan. On today's show, we're going to be looking back over last weekend's action in the All County Football Leagues across all three divisions to look back over all the highs and lows of the weekend's action. Delighted to be joined by Paul Fitzpatrick, sports editor of the Anglo Celt. Paul, we'll get straight into it. A lot of games to get through. Starting off in Division 1. The first result from the weekend was on Wednesday evening. Cavan Gaels maintaining a good home record, beating Ramy United 15 points to 13. Coming into the game, it was two undefeated sides, and the Cavan Gaels side came away with their record intact.
Yeah, and again, I think Gerald McKernan was the man here again. He's been playing really well, scoring heavily for the Gaels now, and obviously he's got over his injury problems, putting a good run of games together. So didn't hear a whole lot about this game, but the Gaels got the job done in a close enough encounter, I think.
The better Grod plays with the club, the more the rumours continue to go that, God, will he go back in? Will he get into the... Will he be ready for the All-Ireland? Will he be willing to go into for the All-Ireland series? So he's doing nothing to stop the rumour mill at the minute.
Yeah, anyway, I'd love to see him back in.
Oh, it'd be huge. It'd be massive. It'd be 6'5" of massive. Like, so it'd be brilliant to see him back in, but good to see him playing good football one way or another. But it would be such a boost to Cavan if Garrod was to go back in. But yeah, 2-point win, it's probably nothing that Rammer will be overly worried about as of yet, but for the Gaels, they'll be delighted to have maintained that winning start, which keeps them top of the table at the minute, but we'll go through that at the end. Garner got the better of Knockbride up in St. Bridges Park. 2-9 to Knockbride, 4-19 to Garner. And this was a Garner, as you pointed out to me, without any of the Bradys. So Cormac, Fionnan, Killian, Ryan, Connor, Aaron... Is that all the Bradys?
Kieran, Lawrence
and Desi. All missing as well.
Yeah, first time, I don't know, some Garner listener might know, but it's the first time in a long time that there's been none of those Brady men on the Garner team. Yeah, as far as I know, there's just injuries. I think Aaron's coming back from his cruise shit. Connor was just maybe had a knock, was minding himself after the Tyrone game.
Ryan done his ham.
Ryan has a hamstring. I think Fionnan and Cormac both have hamstrings. I think
they all have hamstrings, but injured ones.
Injured ones, yeah. Yeah, so just a few injuries, but it's nothing. No season enders or anything like that. This was an interesting one because, obviously Keane and Tiernan Madden were playing and Ryan Donoghue was playing, which was a big boost for Garner. Now, Bride started this game well, and they got a 45 from Patrick Smith. Kieran Madden got a goal then, but now Bride were still 3 points up after 18 minutes. I think Liam Fay scored a great point as well, but Garner started to regain control in the game. And Oisin Pearson palmed in a goal, and it was 2-7 to 1-6. Kieran Madden got another great goal in the top corner in the start, early in the second half. But it was still pretty tight. Matty Traynor got a goal, but left very little in it after 10 minutes in the second half. But Garner attacked on 1-9 in the closing stages, and from what I was told, their pace and hard running really was the difference. Not Bride just weren't used to it and couldn't handle it. And Conor Madden got a goal towards the end, A great ball over the top from Tiernan Madden, and Madden scored, which I think is his fifth goal in the
six games. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Is it in six games or five?
I think five games. Six. Oh, they've only played five. Okay.
Yeah.
I sure that's right. They've all hit five games bar Coughlin's, is it? Yeah. There's five games. Coughlin's, that's some goal.
Coughlin's and Ballyhays of Castlerahan. There's a couple of teams have
played all six.
Yeah, well, there must be four. Oh, sorry. No, do you know what it is? Wasn't there a walkover?
Was there? Am I gone? What's the walkover? In Division 1?
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, I'm just looking at the table here. I can't see four teams with six games played.
But you have one team with four, two teams with four played, so between the balance of them all, and one team with three played. Actually, Mullaghorn haven't really come out this year. They're only showing up half the time.
Their game against Crushlough was called off as well. Yeah, so Garona, with four wins and a loss from their first five games, they'll be very happy where they're at.
Scoring 419, they'll also be very happy with that.
Well, they're the top scorers in the division. 1 point more scored than Rammer.
Yeah. It's good going for Gowan early doors, and still more to come. For Knockbright, still good experience playing Division 1 teams like that to give you a target to chase.
Niall McCabe, come on.
Their bench looks strong.
Paddy Rogers, come on. So maybe they're starting to get bodies back too.
Yeah, be important for them. Okay, then into the next game. So Cavan Gaels had a second game in 4 days, and again they picked up a win in PJ Duke Park, where they got the better of Lara. I think I'm right in saying it was a last minute goal, 112 to 12 points favour Shehu.
That's right. Shehu was the match winner. Garner had some good goal chances as well, but Kieran Flynn saved from Jack McKenna and Jake Mills. I think that was on the run in.
Lara.
So it was 6 points each at half time. So it sounds like a close game. Paul Smith, top scorer for Lara with 7 points. Garob McKernan, top scorer for the Gaels with 7 points. Interestingly, Kevin Meehan came on for the Gaels, so he's on the comeback trail. Paul O'Connor, Daniel Graham, and Michael Veal came on as well.
Yeah. Good to see Michael Veal back. I always thought he was a good player at underage level anyway, so good to see that and bringing down the average age. We're looking into that. Cavan Gaels, though, picking up that win, favour Shehu with the big goal. Arva were beaten by Coughlin's 117 to 17 points. Good scoring here out in Mikey Cully Park. But it pushes Coughlin's freshly up into Division 1, but pushes them up with 3 wins from 6 games, so they're in good position at the minute.
They are, yeah. Evan Doughty at 1-8, obviously the goal was key. That came, I think, with about 5 minutes to go. Looking at the Arva team, Kieran Brady played, Tristan Hoffman played, Johnny McCabe, Peter Morris, James Morris, Danny Ellis, Thomas Partington. So like, they're getting back closer to full strength. Dylan Maguire was named corner forward. I don't know, did he play there? Matthew Gallagher at 14...
That's a new name on me.
I'm going to say that he's a cousin of Johnny McCabe's from Donegal, who's transferred in, but I could be wrong, but I have a memory of being told that by one of the Arva lads.
Okay.
He's a new player that Arva have picked up. He's supposed to be a handy footballer too. On the Coughlin's team, as I said, Doughty 1-8, Sean Kenny 3, Brian McGee had 2 points there as well, so could win on the road for Coughlin's.
Final game then in Division 1, as you said, the Crushlough Mullaghorn game was postponed, but Ballyhays getting the better of Castlerahan, 2 goals and 9 points to 14 points in Annerley Park. Ballyhays will be happy enough with that one.
Yeah, it was David Brady who came up with the winner here, a free by Michael Brady near the end of the game. Castlerahan were in the box seat, but Breen O'Rourke scored his second goal of 5 minutes to go after good work from Michael Brady. Then Michael got a free, and then David got a point, and that made sure that Ballyhays won the game. So Owen Clark, who was listed at wing back, he got 2 points. Breen O'Rourke, 2 goals, as I said. And the Brady brothers had 7 between them. On the Castlerahan team, Kieran Caldwell, last year's minor, I think.
Or the year before, was it?
Yeah, talented
good
forward.
Player, though.
Yeah, he got 4. Kieran Crossford got 5. And Castlerahan are getting bodies back too. David Ritt, Cormac Daly, Endo O'Connell, Stephen Cooney, and one more.
Go on,
Paul Lukey.
Oh,
back, yeah, transferred in. He came on there last week. This was his first start.
That's a big one. Big addition. Big. That's some great business in the transfer window there by Fergal Flanagan. Now he'd give Pep Guardiola a run for his money.
Well, I think Fergal was in the wars too. I think he watched the game from outside the fence.
Did he? That happens to the best of us, though. I wouldn't hold that against them. Though, no, good stuff. Geez, that's interesting. Yeah, because do you know what? There's still a lot of rumours going around about Castlerahan and different players coming back. And you know, we're even hearing that Kia Mackey might be coming back. I'm hearing rumours of that, but
I haven't heard any of this now.
Yeah, there was some rumours that there was a possibility he might be back if he's fit to go. I think there was injury issues or something there.
Okay, well, sure, he's a TV star now. He might not have time for football.
Well, that's it. And then look at he must be touching 60 at this stage, anyway, Kia Mackey. So, he got a new job and all. So he's located locally anyway. At least he doesn't have a million miles to travel to work anymore. So, all cutting aside, good win for Ballyhays there. But Castlerahan definitely showing signs of improvement.
Well, if they could get Mackie back, even though Keane has a lot of football played, like, sure, he's still, you don't lose class like that. Like, so he will be a big addition. And Paul Lukey, like, he's always been top class. Like, Castlerahan now could be hard to beat this year. Oisín O'Connell, sorry, I forgot to mention, he started as well.
Okay. Okay, both O'Connell's back?
Yeah, both started.
Okay, so the table in the Romar Energy All-County Football League Division 1 looks like this. Cavan Gael sitting on top with 5 wins from their 5 games. Then we have Ramor and Gowna both on 8 points from their 5 games. Crushala and Kingscourt Stars, along with Lara and Coohullins, have 6 points. 4 points for Mullaghorn and Ballyhays. And then we have 3 points for Arva and Coohullins, with Lacken and Knockbride yet to get off the mark. So it's still all to play for in that league. And the way it works, just again to remind people, the bottom 4 go into relegation semi-finals. And am I right in saying that? Bottom 4?
I think so.
Or is it bottom 3 plus the 1? No, it's bottom 4.
Is it bottom? Is it the bottom team goes down and the next 4 brought into the playoff, or the next 3 are brought into the playoffs?
Is that it?
Possibly. Not sure.
We'll have to look that up.
We should know that.
Yeah, before I go mention it in the middle of a podcast and throw both of us looking stupid. Okay, on to the Brady's Arva Volkswagen All County Football League Division 2 results from the weekend gone by. Sorry, I had fixtures up there. On Thursday evening, up in Killincare, they got the better of a very much understrength Ballymacue team. From what I'm told, up to 9 players absent from Ballymacue. Killincare 3-16, Ballymacue 8 points. And interesting on this one, when I was looking through it, Killincare, I think Emmett Fitzsimons only scored 1 point, so they're showing a great range of scorers without Emmett Fitzsimons being the lead on it. Kian McGovern, Connell Mooney, Jason McMahon tapping in with a few, Darren Smith with a couple of frees there. The comment that I heard from this from 2 different people was that it was a great open game of football. Referee Joe McQuillan just allowed it to flow without it ever getting out of control. It was always, that's just over the line now, don't go there again. And the players responded really well to it. So, but 3-16 is damn good scoring.
It is, yeah. Kieran Flynn deserves a special mention. He came off the bench, got 3 goals. Peter McCabe got his usual goal. Corner forward for Ballymacue, Pappy Galligan. Park Galligan, that's Pappy,
yeah.
Right? He's back.
I know.
Didn't see his name the last couple of years.
Yeah. Geez, a couple of years you've been good.
Yeah. He was always a good, strong player. Like,
well, very clever. Very clever, very, very smart corner forward. So, but again, it probably shows. The other one that stood out for me was Connor Tynan. That's Shane's younger brother, isn't it? Or is it?
I don't know.
I think it is. I think I've seen him at underage football. And again, I think he hit 2 points here out of the 8 for Ballymacue. Liam Buchanan with 2 in the middle of the field. But if there's another wee Tynan coming in there, it spells trouble.
I think
for
Shane has had a bad injury, hasn't he?
Shane has, yeah. Now he's out for another while. Peter Devine was injured as well. So there's a lot of Ballymacue's team missing at the minute, like, and particularly in that forward line. They can't really afford to be losing key players like that. There's a lot of players missing me that are just names are eluding me at the minute. But for Killincare, they'll be delighted. They're going rightly.
It's unbelievable. It's one of the greatest days of my life.
It's a great day, as I say, for Arva. We're very, very proud. Look, we live and breathe football, so today's an exceptionally special day.
We were saying on commentary there won't be a car serviced in Grady's this week. That's the end of it for a week.
Well, look, we'll get the place open in the morning and we'll try and get it going.
Celebrations start from now, yeah. Everybody's welcome to Arbor.
And we're bringing home an All-Ireland title to Arbor. It's just unbelievable.
Brady's Arva Limited, your main Volkswagen dealers. Supporting the local community through the worst and the best of times.
Could Hill against Ballina finished in a draw? A real battle here. 1-16 to Could Hill and 2-13 to Ballina over in Hugh O'Reilly Memorial Park. That sounds like a cracker.
Yeah, Jake White, he's another of the Cavan Miners in the last year or two. He got 1-5. He seems to be doing well. Good Hill can always produce forwards, it seems, and yeah, produce another good one here. Seanie O'Connor with 2 points, Dean Connolly with two, Enda Hesson with two. On the Ballina team, it was Niall McDermott did a lot of scoring, and I think it was Shane Finnegan with a late goal after a goal mouth scramble, grabbed the draw for the Ballina lads. In Good Hill are always hard to beat, in Good Hill, in my experience. But yeah, that sounds like a good one.
Yeah, with Could Hill, you just don't know what you're going to get from game to game. Like,
that, yeah,
at their best, they're good enough to get a promotion out of Division 2. But if they're not at their best, they could be in relegation trouble. There's such a wide range of level of performance within that group. Consistency is, I think, the biggest issue Could Hill have.
I saw them once or twice in the Championship last year, I think, and you'd see them one day and you said, there's the intermediate champions.
Yeah.
You see them the next day and you go, how are they staying in the intermediate?
Yeah.
Like, they are, consistency is a problem, but the quality's there.
Oh, it is. It is. And that's even without, I don't see Shane Sexton's name on the team sheet there. So, you know, there's an awful lot of quality in that Could Hill side. Okay, on to Butler's Bridge. They were taking on Drumlane, local derby there, and a right battle here. 3-13 to Butler's Bridge, 3-12 to Drumlane, as close can be in Emmett Park.
Yeah. It was 2-7 to 1-7 coming into the closing, or coming into half-time. Keevan O'Reilly got a goal then in the second half. Luke Allison, he's another Cavan Miner from last year.
A rocket of a defender coming up the field, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, he got a goal as well after a driving run through the middle. So you're right there. Ryan Connolly was keeping the scoreboard taken over all day, as he does. He scored 2-4. Daryl McGoran had 1-1. I think Ryan was injured. That might have been his first game back in a few weeks. Dan O'Dowd with 3 points from midfield.
Rolling back the years. I don't know what years they were, but he's definitely rolling them back.
Just keeps going, like,
he does, doesn't he?
So consistent. Wouldn't be known for his scoring, but so consistent, and what a servant to the club. Michael Owens, he was listed as a wing back here. He got 2 points, so an interesting positional change there. On the Bridge team, Cathal Leddy with a point, Paddy Phillips with five, Joseph Dugdale with three.
And that's one that I'm very interested, because Joseph Dugdale is a player that I think there's a lot of potential there. Big, physical, strong lad, obviously coming from great stock. But if the best can be got out of him, I wonder where's the ceiling on him, because 3 points there, it's a good start. I know, yeah, he's on the county minor or county on the 20 panel as well,
including the winner. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And all six of Butler's Bridge forwards scored, of the starting forwards. Killian Leddy got 1-1. Quevin O'Reilly,
I think Sean Murphy didn't score, but everyone else scored.
Sorry, you're right. Sean let me down. Sean T. Not good enough. That's just disappointing by him. But yeah, it's a good win for Butler's Bridge. Drumlane look like they're trending in the right direction. Next up then, it was Killigarry down to take on Templeport in the Athletic Grounds. 3-21 to 2-11 in favour of Killigarry. Templeport making progress, creating a lot of chances, probably not just taking enough of them. Killigarry's forward line, it's just frightening. Even without Ushin Brady, Martin Riley in it, they're still racking up massive scores.
Ah, yeah. Like, whatever they're doing in the club in terms of producing forwards, like, it should be replicated,
yeah.
The club is able to produce unbelievably talented attacking players. Like, you've the two Moonies there, Darren Noonan was the starting corner for the Cavan Miners last year, a real handful. He broke into the team here. Darragh Lovett got a goal. Keane Keeney,
1-2 or 1-3 was it?
1-4 I have him for.
1-4
And then my man got 8 points from play.
He's just wrecking hearts. He's wrecking everybody in that division. I was talking to Killing Care Man, and he was just saying, if I never see him again, I'd be delighted. You know, Connor Smith was just phenomenal.
Looking at the stats the other day, I was thinking, like, you know, what he could bring to the Cavan team and so on. And we know he hasn't been able to translate his form, his unmarkable form. He's the best inside scoring forward in Cavan. In club football, in my opinion.
And even when he's playing anywhere in the forward line, because he's playing centre forward at the minute for Killigarry. And I
personally think he's the best.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. I honestly do. At club level, he's unmarkable. But how many what's his record for games, successive games started for Cavan in League and Championship?
I would be surprised if it's 3.
I don't even think it's 2.
All right, okay.
So
it's something we can find out, though.
Yeah, injuries is the problem there, but
They're still flying. They're going well. Killigarry, you know, with somewhat of a dodgy start to the league, they've managed to bounce back. And I say somewhat dodgy, I think 2 draws is what they've started on. Sorry, I forgot to put my phone on silent, folks. But like they're in good shape, Killigarry, at the minute, and still not at full tilt. No Keane and Riley on that team sheet either. And a number of other players.
Could they win a senior championship out of Division 2?
I think that may be what will come against them in the end of it all. It'll depend on, again, trying to forward plan or look at it, what the gap is between league and championship. Can they get enough high quality challenge games to reset the level, because the level that it takes to win a Division 2 league is nowhere near senior championship. So
the only thing I would say is that Connor Smith, I think, would be okay. Martin Riley would be okay. Those lads have played most of their career at the highest level available to them.
And
you've Oisin Brady and Keane Riley and Darragh Lovett and Keane Keeney have all been playing County Under 20 or County Senior this year. So like you've 6 or 7 starters there that probably, it's not like they need to be exposed to Division 1 club football.
True.
That's the interesting thing. On Darragh Lovett, I forgot to mention earlier on, there's 3 under-20s brought into the Cavan Senior team, which are Darragh Lovett, Evan Crowe and Matthew Smith, just to confirm that.
Yeah, very interesting. 2 of them under 20 next year as well. So Evan and Matthew have another year to go.
Yeah.
So that'll be a good experience for them. Maybe, just maybe, Paul, somebody's listening to us, because God knows you love Matthew Smith and I love Evan Crowe.
Jeez, you do.
That's good. Delighted for the lads and best of luck. Okay, then it was Drumgoon. This was a really good win for Drumgoon. 2-16 to beat Den 1-10 over in Boyle Park. That's a good win for Drumgoon.
Drumgoon almost always beat Den.
Do they?
Yeah, they've a big.
They've
a great head-to-head record. I think didn't Den beat them last year, and
that was the first of 3 games that year that they beat them.
Yeah, like they lost a league final to them. They had lost the regulation game that was in Division 3 when Den. I don't know if they lost a game the whole year. Other than that,
that's right.
So they always struggle with them. For some reason, it's a matchup that doesn't suit them very well. It was 1-9 to 3 points to Drumgoon at half time, and that's when they had their. That's when they did all their good work. Conor Miner had 4 points. Mick McDonald 1-2. Conal Farrell 7 points. Shane Smith 1-2. And Dean Carroll 1 point. On the Den team, Mark Fagan came up for a free on a 45. Ben Conley scored a penalty. And Oisin Kiernan had 7 points. So, there you know, there's the county. I would say the county training and so on has really brought him on. Like, he's going to be a better player for his club now.
Absolutely. And then when they throw back in Thomas Edward Donoghue into the mix there for them.
I'd say maybe Oisin was on the freeze as well, probably with the left peg.
Possibly. With his left peg? Would he use his left peg? He's right footed, isn't he? You're thinking the other Oisin.
Well, I'm thinking of the other Oisin, maybe, yeah.
It's very confusing.
What do you call it? I think Ted is nearly ready to return too.
Yeah, somebody said to me he's played reserve games or a reserve game or something.
I didn't hear that now, but I think it's nearly more cautious than anything. I think he's nearly ready to go, but you can't rush that one back.
Yeah, I was going to say it's very, very slow to heal.
That's meant to be the most painful injury you can get.
Yeah, yeah. Touch wood, I never experience it. You know, the speeds I'd be moving at, it could happen. So good, but yeah, good to see. It would be great to see him back because we love good scoring forwards and creative footballers, and Ted falls into that bracket. Okay, Cornafin against Beltorbet. This was an upset. Beltorbet hadn't been going great. Cornafin had been flying. 111 to Cornafin, 115 to Beltorbet. So Mark Lawler starting to turn the wheels.
Yeah, and Beltorbet were much the better side here. Like they were 9 points up with 8 minutes left, 116 to 10, and the Reds got a penalty and a free then to I think it was Jack Wharton with the penalty and the free to sort of take the bad luck off it. But it was one sided this game. So on the Beltorbet team, Killian Murray, wing back, he got a goal. Callum McGreevy got 5. Fiona Donoghue got 6, and then the Henry got 4. So 15 points from the full forward line that was listed on paper. Brendan Vesey came off the bench and got a point. Jack Wharton had 1-6. He was the top scorer for Cornafin.
Do you know what's happening in Beltorbet, even in defeat, starting to notice less of a reliance on Enda Henry. There's a better spread of scorers, and that's something that needed addressing. So, and will take time before it fully beds in, but that's definitely a move in the right direction.
Are they favourites for the Junior Championship at this moment in time?
They'd have to be, wouldn't they?
Heading up right.
Oh, sorry, no, they're not. No. But McBride are favourites. They'd be second favourites for me.
Okay.
Would anyone disagree with that? The Division 1 McBride, like, it's a big jump up from Division 2 to 1 and a big jump up from Division 3 to 2. So McBride have to be comfortable favourites. But, yeah, time will tell. Okay, final game of the Brady's Arva Volkswagen All County Football League Division 2 was Lavi against Shercock in New Inns. Lavi coming away with another win, remaining unbeaten. 9 points to 5. It was a war of attrition, really, here.
Yeah, Lavi, as we know, are not a great league team the last few years in general, but they're unbeaten here, 6 out of 6. Not just unbeaten, they have a 100% record, and there wouldn't be too many teams in the county with that to boast of at the moment. 9-5, a poor game, I was told, as the score would suggest. Lavi were winning 6 points to 2 at half time. Now, they had Jerry Smith back and he scored 2 points.
From midfield.
Yeah, Chris Conroy got 3, Danny Cusick got 1.
There's something wrong with the Lavi team here, because their back line of Dean McCabe in goals, Finn Buckley, David Conroy, Danny Cusick, who got a point, Oren Daly, Chris Conroy got 3 points, and James McBreen got a point, completely outscored their forward line, who Shane Tierney is the only one who got a score in the forward line.
Yeah, it must be rugby style.
Yeah.
On the Shercock team, Killian Clark with 2, Ryan Clark with a point, and Shane McElroy with 2 points. So yeah, I think that was a poor enough game now.
Do you know what Lavi won't care, because they're sitting top of the table with 6 wins from 6 games, and have put themselves into a great position. So whatever it takes, I'm sure they're happy to go. But it's interesting comment I've heard. Lavi are setting up with a big defence, big numbers, and looking to break at speed, which you know isn't for everybody, but it's working. It's working really well, and maybe just building that confidence. When you look through that Lavi team, there is a lot of younger guys on it now. Like it there's a changing of the guard in terms of, it was Conroy and Jerry Smith and Duke and, you know,
Tierney
and Jordan. You know, now there's new faces there. There's younger lads, McBreen and Daly and the Maguires, and all these lads have to come through and have to make an impact. And finding that balance and giving them confidence, Liam Maguire seems to be doing a good job there.
Yeah, because so, it could be, you look at it on paper and say maybe there's an element of transition. But at the same time, if you can sort of rejuvenate the lads who have been there for a good few years and boost up those younger fellas, maybe that's the perfect blend you want.
Well, that's the best form of transition, is making it overlap perfectly and seamlessly. It's tongue and groove transition, I'm going to christen that.
Oh, I like that one, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way we're going to go with it. Okay, so that means that the table, Brady's Arva Volkswagen All County Football League Division 2 table, has Lavi sitting on top of 12 points. Their neighbours, Killincare, are in second with 10 points, only one defeat. so far in the league for them. Going well on the Gerard O'Kane. Cornafin have 9 points from their 6 games, and then it's Killigarry with 8 points from 5 games. We have 2 teams on 7 points. That's Butlersbridge and Ballina, while Drumgoon are in the middle of the table with 5 points from their 6 games. Then we have Beltorbet, Den and Ballymacue all on 4 points. Coothill and Drumlane are on 3 points, with Shercock on 2, and Templeport sit at the foot of the table with no points from their 6 games. Okay, on then to the Imperial Bar All County Football League Division 3 results from the weekend, starting off on Friday evening out in St. Bartholomew's Park. Isn't that what it's called? Out in Kill, I think I'm right in saying. Is it St.
No, Kill is Rathluden.
Rathluden. Sorry, yeah, but they won in a really good game, an entertaining game, 2-12 to 1-11. This one actually really showed the character that Glenn Nulty has put into this Kill side, because they were down by 5 points after half time. Bailiborough, a load of pace, really, really quick, really good line breakers. Got themselves into a good winning position, but from that point, Niall McCaffrey, I can't remember what it was exactly scored. I'm right in saying 2-8?
2-5 he was listed for.
Okay. Still enough. It's still not bad going. But he scored 2 goals in the second half for Kill as they kind of wrestled back control. I'm just trying to pull out me the team, but when I was looking at it, their midfielder, Connor Bannon, I thought was excellent. Linked to play an awful lot through that middle toward the field. Was involved in 2 of the goals. Liam McCauley, hard-working wing half forward, plotted in with 2 points. Ben McIntyre hit a point in the first half, 2 in the second half. Colin McCauley with a point. And then Sean Gaffney picked up a point as well. On the Bailiborough side, they had scores kind of all over the field. Cornerback Colin Gargan hit a point. Aaron Reel at centre half back hit one. Luke Gilsonen with a point, Brendan Argue with 2, and then Rory Farrell hit a goal and 5 points, with Oran McIntyre getting one off the bench. Probably the key moments in this game came in the second half. Lurkin Hammond in goals for Kill pulled off 3 really good saves, one on one, where Bailiborough, I'm not being smart or not exaggerating, I'd say that could have had 6 goal chances in the second half. 3 of them were saves from Lurkin Hammond, and 2 were just that final pass to put the player through in on the fence that had made it in behind the Kill defence. Just the pass was intercepted or blocked at the last moment and the goal chance fell away. But a lot of speed and a lot of ability to break lines with that Bailiborough side. They're not far away from clicking. But for Kill, the resilience that they showed in that second half was really impressive. They're in flying form and they're going to be very, very hard bet. Then on to Saturday evening, Mahara conceded to Shannon Gales. Muncher Connacht hosted Drumalee, and Drumalee came away with the victory, 3-10 to 11 points. Goals win game, Paul.
Yeah, this was a good win. Tell us about this.
I'm just trying to remember as much as I can from it. Well, Drumalee, let me see. First half was tit for tat stuff.
Greg Duffy was the main man on the day, was he?
Scored 1-4. I think he finished off with inside in the full forward line for Drumalee. Endo Shea, excellent on freeze for Muncher Connacht. The goal, Eamon Quinn had a really good game. Picked up an injury and had to go off just out of precaution that it may have been a head injury. I have to say Gabriel Patterson refereed the game really well. But he allowed Eamon Quinn to go off and come back in. When he came back in, he scored a goal that just kind of finished off the game for Drumalee. But just trying to think who else. I have the notes here somewhere. Just can't pull them back together. Wait, we just get it. The game started off, Greg Duffy opened the scoring for Drumalee, and it went 3 points ahead with Bomber scoring, Cian Bourne scoring a free in between 2 points from Duffy. Then Muncher Connacht took the lead with 4 points in a row, 3 from Endo Shea and 1 from the wingback Stephen Shorten. After trading points, then Drumalee got that goal. Dylan Duffy keeping a ball alive that David O'Keefe dropped into the square, and as the ball was on the ground, I'm giving the goal to Tommy Walsh. Dylan Duffy went running away cheering as if he scored it. I think I'm going to have to rule umpire on that one and say it was definitely a Tommy Walsh goal. And Drumley went in with a lead of 1-5-5 at the break. Endo Shea replied immediately after the break with a point from open play, a lovely one actually outside of the right boot. Greg Duffy replied for 2 points for Drumley. It was tit for tat kind of over and back as two more points came back from Endo Shea. Then Eamon Quinn got his goal after a really good pass by Jamie Heffernan. Put him through at the back post to palm it to the net. That left it 2-7-8 points. Then it was a point for Endo Shea and three in a row for Drumley from Niall Young, David O'Keefe, and that goal then coming from Greg Duffy palmed to the back of the net after really good work by Tommy Walsh passing the ball across the goal mouth after running in along the end line. And then 2 points from O'Shea and one from Tommy Walsh at the end of the game to leave it a win for Drumley. So the win keeps Drumley on top of the table. Red Hills were taking on Killeshandra and got 3 goals and 15 points to beat Killeshandra's 12 points. So good win for your Kanikarua.
Yeah, good win for Red Hills, yeah. A big spread of scorers actually in this game. Paul Martin was the top scorer with 2-1, but Pádraig Smith had 3 points, Sean Martin 2, Desi Gumley 2, Joshua Mohan a goal, Cormac Bride's 2 points, Shane Jenkins 2 points, Tomás Riley a point. On the Killeshandra team, Ryan Brady had 3 and Damien Higgins had 2, Jude Collins had 5 and Dara Riley had 2. So yeah, it was a good win that for Red Hills. There were 2-6-7 up at half time thanks to those 2 goals from Paul Martin.
Swan and Barr going well. 5 goals and 8 points to Mount Nugent's 1 goal and 11. Definitely an ability to score goals for Swan and Barr at the minute.
Yeah, I didn't get anything in this game actually.
I think so. They got 4 goals against Kildallan. I remember that one, and I'm just looking back to see. I think they've had 2 goals against Killeshandra. Have they gone any games without scoring goals? Because they hit 3, I think it was, against Drumley, 1 against Ballyborough, 2 against Drumley. So there's something going on in the water down, and 4 against Mahara in the opening day. So something going on in the water down in Swan and Barr. The goals are coming quite easy to them. So, but that's a good win, and they're going well, Swan and Barr. Then on Sunday, the final game of the weekend, Drung were hosting Kildallan, came away with the win, 4 goals and 8 points to Drung, 1 goal and 13 points to Kildallan. Good win for Drung.
Super win for Drung, yeah. And again, we were talking about Drung in the last few weeks. They've strengthened their squad. They look to be a little bit stronger this year. So I think in general, while the junior mightn't be as strong in that, obviously you don't have the best junior team in Ireland in it, probably. I think the general level might be rising below that top group.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the junior, as always, going to be fiercely contested.
Yeah, so that means that the Imperial Barr All County Football League Division 3 table looks like this. Drumley are sitting on top with 5 wins from their 6 games and 10 points. Swan and Barr in second with 9 points from their 6 games. Kill in third with 8 points from 4 games. So they have 2 games in hand. If they win both them games, they are going to be top of the table. Red Hills also have 8 points from their 5 games. Then we have Ballybor on 7 points, Drung on 5 points. On 4 points, it's Mount Nugent and Munster Connacht. 3 points is Shannon Gales. 2 points for Killeshandra. And down at the bottom of the table, it's Kildallan and Mahara with no points. Mahara, it's not showing up that they've conceded all games ahead of it as yet. So we'll keep an eye on that. There's changes to the fixtures in the All County Football League. So there are games this weekend, and just to try to pull back up the email, but basically now round 8 has been postponed, I think I'm right in saying. And then we have round 9 and 10, and then 2 weeks of a break once again. So essentially it is that Round 8 of the All County Football League will be postponed. Round 9 will be played on Friday, May 17th, and round 10 on Friday, May 24th. This is to facilitate previous club requests. So there must be something going on that clubs want to play on a Friday night. I know for my experience, Friday night games are tough when you have players in Dublin and, you know, lads away in college and lads that work away to get back for Friday evening games. It's quite difficult.
The only thing I do clearly remember in the past, it being said that on bank holiday. This game should be on Friday nights. So yeah, that's going to have their bank holiday free. So I do have some sympathy with the fixture makers there, that you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't to some extent.
Yeah, but then these aren't bank holidays when the Friday night games are on.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were saying it's for this weekend.
No. Okay. It's Saturday evening this weekend, but then Friday night the 17th of May and Friday night the 24th of May. Now, are Cavan are out that weekend of the 17th, so yeah, we'll definitely agree with that one. The 24th, I don't think Cavan are out that weekend.
It's the following weekend, Cavan host Dublin.
Yeah.
Or so, Loud.
Yeah, so it's a little bit, look, I'm sure that there's very good reasons for it, but it falls unfortunate for some clubs. I know for Drumalee, it'll mean one game in a 6 week or 7 week period, because if Mara don't fulfil their fixture, and then the bye week with Corla, I think, falls in that as well. So Drumalee, a little bit unfortunate in the way it falls for them, but that's just the luck of the draw, I suppose.
Yeah, I'll give you time to get Tobin and McManus in. A bit of training.
Yeah, them and David Clifford. Bring them all in. Okay, that's all we've time for, folks. If you haven't already tuned in to the Die Hard service over on patreon.com/wearecavan, you can listen back to all of this week's podcasts where we look back over Cavan underage ladies or Cavan girls, where they completed an unbelievable clean sweep of Ulster titles, under 14, under 16 and minor A Ulster titles. First time in a very, very long time, if ever, that has happened. And Aidan Coyle goes through all of the action with me on the podcast for that. We look back also on Cavan Camogue's defeat at the hands of Armagh, much improved performance, but nonetheless came away with a defeat in that game. And we also look back on the, what else have we got? Oh, the hurlers, obviously, very importantly, they got the better of Lancashire. And we heard from manager Ollie Bellew and the centre-half forward Jack Barry on that one. We also look ahead to the minors as they take on Antrim in a must-win game in the Ulster Championship, the final group stage game, Kingsman Breffni, Saturday at 2 p.m. We had talking points, which got through, obviously, the unfortunate injury to Paddy Lynch. And we had another podcast, Paul, earlier on the week that I'm struggling to remember. The first one we did was...
The draw.
Oh, yeah, we did a live draw. That was exactly it. The All-Ireland series draw. We reacted to it live as it was coming out. So they're all over on patreon.com/wearecavan. If you haven't already subscribed, a measly little fiver a month is all it'll cost you. So great value. Paul, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Demo.